Thanks, Rich. Hi, everybody. So it's been really interesting this morning. And just before I kind of kick off into the main body of what I'm going to share is Rich started off the meeting by talking about how it's really important to keep on learning and to keep on studying. And as you know, I'm quite a big reader. I read quite a lot. I listen to quite a lot. And I just thought, as usual, as I do with these kinds of things, is just really share with you what I'm kind of listening to at the moment. Different new things that I've picked up, because again, you might not be aware of these things. You might not be like me, kind of always like on the look for maybe what's out there. So I'll just go through that just for the first few minutes. But I found a really new app, good app called Faithful, which has got loads of content on it, preachers from all the kind of, I suppose, yeah, the top preachers, if you like, out there that we listen to this side of the Atlantic, mainly American style, but Elevation Worship, the main guy from there is on there. So that's really worth a bit of a look. And Bridgetown Daily has kicked off again. Although I haven't been so religious as I have been in the past with that one, but again, that's out there. A daily short kind of meditation every day from John Mark Comer's church. It's not him all the time, it's different voices, but again, it's really good. And then just thinking about prayer in this season, as we've been focusing in on that, Life Church in Bradford have been doing a really good series over the course of the new year. That's again just some daily meditations, a weekly short word, which I've been tapping into. In addition to that, I've been, and again, and this is because I do like to stretch myself a little bit in my thinking, and I'm always a bit envious of Rod's reading collections and what he reads and think, oh my gosh, that's so great. But I'm reading a devotional, which is a daily reading from C.S. Lewis. And again, it's just to just stretch my thinking and just to get some different perspectives and not just to be looking to what's out there in the contemporary side of things. So there's a lot, you know, I'm trying to cram in quite a lot. But my sort of main thing at the moment around the Gospels is with Bible readings. Every year I kind of do this, right, I'm going to do Bible in a year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that and the other. But actually, it's one of those New Year's resolutions that actually I always fail to do on January the 1st, because usually you're quite busy January the 1st, aren't you, doing things and all the rest of it. So I canned the idea of doing Bible in a year this year, but have committed to reading the Passion Translation, which I'd already started doing before Christmas, and I was reading the Gospel of Luke. So what I'm going to do, I'm just reading it for almost just to read it for enjoying it, and not to as well just read it in short passages, but to take chunks and to read it. And I think it might have been Lucy Pepiat that encourages you to read large chunks of scripture at the same time, rather than just dipping in and out. And whilst, you know, a psalm a day is great and all of that kind of thing, reading the scripture in chunks to get the context and to see what everything that's going on around it is a really good thing to do. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. And again, lockdown provides a bit more space to be able to do some of these things. So again, it's not for everybody, but there's some really good content out there at the moment. And again, this is sort of, you know, there's never been a I suppose a time where we can access some of this stuff. But I noticed Georgie was on today. One thing I did notice, and I've got it on pre-order, is Simon Ponsonby has a new book coming out soon called Amazing Jesus, which I just thought, oh, isn't that great? You know, we're focusing on Jesus as we're walking through the Gospels. How timely. I don't know when it's coming out, but I thought, oh, I'll put a pre-order in for that, so we'll see what comes out from him. So it's just fabulous what's out there at the moment. And as I said before, you guys know that I'm a big fan of kind of John Mark Comer and the teaching that's come out of Bridgetown in what they call practicing the way of Jesus. And I mentioned to Rich when we were putting the preaching schedule together that I felt like I had a bit of a series of teachings that has come out of my readings of the Gospels and other things that I've been reading. And I said, I've got these three short talks. I think one's living like Jesus, one's living with Jesus, and one's loving like Jesus, which is really interesting because I hadn't really been thinking about the kind of Bridgetown church side of things for a while. I hadn't been listening to a lot of it, but it's clear that when something kind of gets embedded in you and in your heart and stuff, it kind of comes out in other ways, because the thing that that Bridgetown really focus on is around ordering your life around three distinct goals, one of which is being with Jesus, one is becoming like Jesus, and one is doing what Jesus did. So it's interesting that even kind of without reference to the teaching, these are the things that are going through my mind. So the one we're going to look at today is living like Jesus. I suppose the big question for us is, how do we actually do what he did and live like he did in this modern world? And I suppose in particular, in this moment where we find ourselves. And that is, I think, for me, being able to hand on heart say that I will only do what I see the Father doing in a really, you know, non-chaotic and measured way. And, you know, that really has got to be our end goal, to do what he did. We're not just called to follow him, but we're called to continue his work here on earth. And that does mean healing the sick, praying for the lost, opening up the home, our homes when we can. I suppose we just need to think about what that looks like in this time a bit more creatively. And we need to be opening up our lives to those that are far from God. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about, I wasn't thinking about New Year's resolutions. I was thinking more in the sense of that I wanted to set some goals and things that not intentionally that I was going to stop doing, but the things I wanted to do in 2021. I found myself drawn towards this quote from an American kind of novelist poet chap called Wendell Berry, which again, some of you may have heard of. His name comes up and again in sort of in theological talks and all of these kinds of things. But this quote really just struck a chord with me because it really sounded that his way of describing a way of living just sounded a lot like how Jesus lived. And I think we can learn a lot from Wendell Berry's formula for a good life. And he simply says this, he says, you know, for a good life and a good community that is simple and pleasing the unoriginal, we need to try and do the following: slow down, pay attention, do good work, love your neighbours, love your place, stay in your place, settle for less and enjoy it more. And I just thought, wow, that just sounds to me like the way Jesus lived. And I just think, you know, never has there been a time in history when I think the conditions that we're living in lend ourselves to be able to, for us to focus on this way. And we need to use the Gospels as kind of, I suppose, the manual and the guide for how we do that by looking at the life of Jesus. And what I'm going to, you know, share with you by looking at those things, you know, slow down, pay attention, etc., very quickly, is that this is not unfamiliar stuff to us. For those of us that have walked with God a long time and, you know, we know what Jesus did and all the rest of it. But I really hope during this season that we try and take a look at the Gospels and try and see things with a fresh set of eyes. Again, this week I read a quote from John Tyson, who I think he preached at the virtual New Wine. And he said, almost without fail, when I read the Gospels, I see something that I have never seen before. And that's really my prayer, is that as we quickly canter through these things for how I think Jesus lived and the things I've picked up from, I'm reading the Gospel of John at the moment, that's my Gospel of choice, is that we'll just see something different or learn something new that we can take away. So here we go. There is quite a lot here, as usual, and a couple of them we won't focus so much on because they'll come out in other talks that I do. So firstly, slowed down. And again, you know, what I don't want to do is try and deny the fact that we all have busy lives doing, you know, the right things. We work, we have home lives, we have all of the rest of it. But there is a way that Jesus lived that was slow and measured, and that wasn't that he wasn't busy. And in John Mark Comer's book, in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which is just fantastic, I've read it a couple of times now, this particular quote just really just sums up, I think, the way that Jesus lived. He says, Jesus's schedule was full to the brim at times, but in a good way. Yet he never came off hurried. And I just think that what a fabulous place to be able to live in. And I think from reading the Gospels, we don't get this sense that Jesus rushed from place to place. Yes, he had a lot of ground to cover, but he took his time so that he didn't miss a moment for a miracle, didn't miss where he needed to do the work of the Father. And in addition to that, we know that he often retreated to the quiet place after busy times and rested. He knew that he needed to do that. So we can learn a lot from that. And my favourite thing that that we see in Jesus's humanity is that Jesus slept. He actually slept. And whilst it might just be a funny thing to pull out, I just think it's just, why would we know that about Jesus if it wasn't that we needed to learn something for ourselves? And we see that, don't we, in Mark verse 4:38, when they were out in the storm on the boat, it says, but Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. You know, he had slowed down. He had taken time to rest and to recharge. Even in a moment of storm, he was calmly sleeping. And I just think we can learn a lot from that. And I just wonder, and have wondered really since last March, whether, you know, the pandemic and periods of lockdown just give us that opportunity for us to slow down and structure our lives in such a way that we are able to truly focus and connect in with the right things. So number two, about paying attention. And again, about this for me is about being engaged and being in present in what we're in. And I just think Jesus was awesome at this. He was probably the most self-aware and emotionally intelligent person to ever walk the earth. And the Gospels are littered with examples where we see him properly paying attention. I think my favourite incidents of where he really, truly does this is where he meets the woman at the well. And I'm not going to dwell on that one now, because I want to look at that one in a bit more detail when we look at how Jesus loved, because I just think there was so much in there for us to learn about paying attention, being engaged and being present. But as I've been reading John over the course of the last few weeks, in the story of the blind beggar, we see that Jesus noticed. He didn't just walk on by. And in John 5 and verse 5, it says, in the crowd, Jesus noticed one particular man who had been living with his disability for 38 years. He knew this man had been waiting here a very long time. And those words just struck me, that he noticed and he knew. And I just really think that probably Jesus never did that intentionally ignoring people, which I know sometimes we can do. We can just walk on by because we're in a rush to get somewhere else. We don't take notice of the things around us. But what Jesus was really good here was, first of all, he noticed the man. And then I think probably he was just, you know, spending a bit of time doing that communion with his Father to discern what was at the nuts and bolts of this situation with this particular person. And without judgment, then he could ask this man what he wanted. And I just think that that's a really powerful thing that we can learn in the way that Jesus lived, that he did. He absolutely noticed everything. He listened. He discerned what was at the heart of issue. And this was all to build people up and not to pull them down. And Bob Goff, again, one of my favourite authors, says, being engaged is a way of doing life, a way of living and a way of loving. It's about going to extremes and expressing the bright hope that life offers us, a hope that makes us brave and expels darkness with life. That's what I want my life to be all about. And I think what he's reflecting on there is actually the way that Jesus did life, being fully engaged and fully present at every moment. And in Matthew 6 and verse 34, and this is from the Message, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with those hard things when the time comes. So there's just that sense that somehow we need to be able to give our entire attention to doing what God is doing right now. Number three, again, we've touched on this a lot this morning already in the testimonies that have come out, which have been fabulous to hear. And this is all about doing good works. And that's what Jesus did. And I think it was Simon Ponsonby that it was, again, going back a few years at New Wine and some of the talks he was doing. And I just remember him vividly talking about the scripture in Acts 10 and verse 38, where it talks about how Jesus, you know, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good. And it was just that sense of went about doing good that just really, you know, hit home with me. That's what he did. Psalm 37 verse 3 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. Other versions of that Acts 10:38 scripture talk about Jesus being ready for action and talks about doing, I think it's the Passion Translation, talks about him doing wonderful things for others. And we've just got a bit of a sense of that this morning, even in this period of lockdown and not being able to do much, there is much we can do in these days. And I think it's more about not doing good because we, you know, are under some kind of obligation, but it's about intentionally doing things as we are led by the Holy Spirit. And I know this came out in the Mission Shaped Living course that we did, that, you know, being intentional about how we do it and the actions we do. And we just, in this season, I think, just have to be really creative about that. And, you know, whether that's a one-on-one walk, whether that's putting flowers on doorsteps, sending cards, all of these things, there are so many ways that we can do good in the small things, but then also in the bigger things. Martin Luther King said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? So I think this morning, again, we have been challenged about that, about what we are doing for others. And it was very much at the heart of what Jesus did. He went around doing good. Number four, loving your neighbours. Again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this one because I think that will come out when we focus on loving like Jesus did. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we're called to do two things, aren't we? We're called to love God and love people. And Bob Goff adds onto this, and do stuff. So doing good things. But I think, you know, for me, this whole loving your neighbour thing is understanding that everybody is your neighbour. And I think, you know, what we can learn from how Jesus lived his life, that he wasn't picky. He really pushed the boundaries around loving others that weren't like him. Which again, and in that, you know, in the Good Samaritan, when that question is asked about who is your neighbour, I think that is something that we can be constantly asking ourselves, is who is my neighbour? Is it my next door neighbour? It might be, and they might not be like you. It's not just our neighbours, aren't just our close circle of friends that we are absolutely close to. We might need to just be thinking about this in a different way. And as we know, loving like Jesus isn't without challenge or controversy, but I don't necessarily think it was complicated. Danielle Strickland suggests that we overcomplicate the things we don't want to, and we professionalise being a good neighbour. And I think that we can learn a lot from that in this space of loving like Jesus did. It wasn't overcomplicated the way he went about doing good and loving people. It wasn't professional and it wasn't slick, and sometimes it was messy. And there's a lot we can learn there, but I won't dwell on that one for much longer. Now, these next two are the ones that I suppose have really impacted me personally over the last year. And they are love your place and stay in your place. And I think whilst we might not love the moment of time we are journeying through because it's a challenge and we all can't wait to get out of being locked down and we want to return to normality, we need to continually love where we have been placed and where we have been planted, whether that's professionally, relationally, spiritually, emotionally, where we live. I think as modern people living in the modern world, we can be so easily discontent in where we've been placed by small things that come in and impact us. And I just think, you know, Dave and I have got a really amazing testimony of this about loving your place, because over the years, you know, we knew God gave us this little house in St. George when we got married. And we, you know, those early years, we loved it and all of the rest of it. But I suppose over time, we got a little bit bored with it. Things were getting a bit tatty. And we kind of always had in our minds that once we had paid our mortgage off, that was it. We'd be out of here. We'd be going to the going and living somewhere else, going to do something else and live somewhere else. Because, yeah, I had fallen completely out of love with this home. And that's what we had in mind. That was our plan. But then the lockdown came, and we did end up paying our mortgage off, which actually is a miracle in itself, because we had a very old endowment that we weren't sure whether it was going to pay out. And as we ended up in lockdown and the financial market started going a bit crazy. It all got a bit tight, but actually God, you know, really provided for us. And over this season, actually, we have learned once again to love this home that we've been given, to love the community we've been placed in. And again, when we walked with Mel and Ben, when their house moved, is actually they really helped us because they were coming almost into one of our neighbouring communities here. They had just such a love and desire to be in this place. They really helped us once again to fall in love with where we've been placed. But it requires investment. And what it's required from us as we've learned to love this place again is time and effort, cost and hard graft to get this place to where we want it to be for the coming years, because we just get in that sense that God doesn't want us to move on from this little house in St. George. It's where he's placed us and it's where we love. And I just think we can learn something from Jesus in this, because I think he had places that he went that he loved and he felt comfortable. I think of Mary and Martha's house. I think that was a place that he loved to go to. He loved being in the temple because it was his father's house. But I think most of all, when sort of thinking about Jesus and loving his place, I think he loved the calling that was on his life. Even though he understood that the cost of that would be his life, he absolutely loved the place that he had been sent to and the work that he had been given to do. We never really see him moan or grumble about where he found himself, even in his darkest moments. And even in those darkest moments, he was still able to declare, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I think we can learn a lot from that, particularly now where it's really easy to moan or grumble about lockdowns and this and that and the other. But actually, we need to, in this moment in time, is to be like Jesus, is to recognise that, you know, not my will, but yours be done. And then that, I suppose, that moves on to staying in your place. So we now know we need to stay in this place. Jesus really knew what it was like to stay, what it was like to move, what it was like to pass through, not enter a particular place. And I think, again, we can learn so much from this, because we can move and shift from one thing to another at the drop of a hat. When we get bored, when it's challenging, when it's hard, we feel the need to rush and not to pause. If there's a problem, we feel the need to go and rush and fix it without pausing. And I think with Jesus, what we see again through the Gospels is we see him traveling all around the place, passing through places, stopping for a while. He knew where he wasn't welcome and didn't waste time and energy in those places. And I think what that shows to us is it shows great patience and great confidence. So patience not to move on too soon, and then great confidence to move on when he needed to. And there's three examples that I found a couple from John. I can't remember where the other one is from. I don't think it is in John. But, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter was dying in the background. What Jesus didn't do in that moment was panic and leave the woman with the issue of blood. He finished the job in hand before moving on to the next thing. How many times do we, you know, don't finish the job we've been given to do and move on to the next thing? When I was reading about the Feast of Tabernacles, that was in John, Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem. He was outside of the city because he knew it was going to be dangerous to enter in full sight. And the disciples were trying to go, "Come on, you need to come into the city to celebrate the feast." But he didn't. He stayed put because he knew that he couldn't, you know, just sort of wander into town in full sight. And he did. He kind of did it in secret. And then I suppose my favourite one, and this is one I think, you know, how easily would we do this, was when Lazarus was at death's door. He didn't rush to get to his side. He waited 2 days before going to him and his family. And we hear, don't we, in the story, you know, everyone kind of saying, "Why? Well, if he'd have come earlier, he wouldn't have died." But he knew that he needed to stay put before he was able to go to him. And then we see that amazing miracle and Lazarus was raised from the dead. So again, we can learn so much from the way Jesus lived there about not moving on from something when we need to stay put and only move when God tells us to do so. And then lastly, number seven, about settle in for less and enjoy it more. And I think for most of us, we could probably say that one of the things that we have learned through this time of the pandemic is that we have learned to live more simply, as we haven't had access to a lot of the things that easily clutter our lives. And I think living in lockdown has helped us to appreciate a simpler way of living, despite having to manage the emotional complexities of what's going on around us. Things like, you know, shopping, eating out, going out, cramming your diary with this, that and the other, you know, all of the rest of it. Even though, you know, even you think about Christmas, and whilst that was, you know, quite hard because you couldn't do the things that you ordinarily did, for some of us, I mean, I in particular found it quite refreshing not having to be catering on four consecutive days, or, you know, kind of these things, actually things stripped back. It made me appreciate things a lot more. And in Matthew 6, it's the famous words, isn't it, about not worrying. And it says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at meal times or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever got taller by an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think that it makes much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives attention, such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you and do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax and not be preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God, the way he works, fuss over these things, but you know God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And I know for all of us, the thing we yearn for more than any material thing at this time is human contact and interaction. And we know from reading the Gospels that that is what Jesus was really all about. And I think he was able to do that because he lived simply, not worried about the material things in life. There was nothing he liked more than sitting down over food with friends, being connected, having space to connect, having space, I suppose, to engage and be present. And I think that we will appreciate the simplicity of just being together so much more when this pandemic is over. So that's just a canter through a few thoughts of how I think Jesus lived and what we can learn from him. And I would just encourage you, as you're reading the Gospels, to try and translate some of these things into your context, your life stage, and apply these things as you're going about your lives in these days ahead. Amen.